Welcome to Health Matters with Rosie Bank, the healthy living podcast for busy professionals. When you feel better, you perform better. We talk about practical, loving strategies you can implement today so you can reach your health, energy, and weight goals. Find out how you can get your body to love you back and enjoy a more peaceful and balanced life. Now, here's Rosie.
Okay, folks, this is Rosie and Gary. Let me tell you about Gary Salyer. Gary Salyer is a master transformational relationship coach who helps people rewrite the rules for love in their brains. Dr. Salyer speaks to a national audience as a featured expert and various celebrity TV and radio shows such as Hay House Radio. His life purpose is to change a generation's fate with love. He's the author of the forthcoming book, Safe to Love Again, How to Release the Pain of Past Relationships and Create the Love You Deserve. For more information, go to www.garysalyer.com. How I met Dr. Gary, we were at a seminar together, and Gary was on stage, and I invited him to be on the Health Matters podcast because, as a health coach, I have couples and relationships and how people use food and whether people are depleted and whether people are going to the refrigerator or into the bedroom. And all of that is folded into my culture, my narrative as a health coach. But when I heard Gary talk about couples and wellness from the perspective of a psychologist, I said, we need to hear more from this guy.
Thank you, Rosie. And it's so great being here.
Good. Well, we're just going to jump right in because you know our podcast listeners are busy. And folks,
yes,
just so you know, if you're driving, keep your hands on the wheel. We'll post everything at rosiebank.com/17download. And we'll give you Gary's links, we'll give you Gary's special offers, but if you just want to know, get the session notes and all the goodies, that's where you go to rosiebank.com/17download. Gary, you mentioned that relationships are the greatest predictor of health and longevity, according to a 17-year study at Harvard. Would you please elaborate?
Well, you know, I do attachment theory, and you know, for the last 75 years, Harvard tracked a bunch of people to see what was the greatest predictor of longevity and health. And what they found was, after tracking people for 75 years, so this isn't a fly-by-night test, they found the biggest one is the quality of relationships. That's the big predictor. It's more important than many, many other things, but the biggest predictor is your relationships. And that's kind of why I like to tell people that wellness starts with a we, literally embedded in the word.
Gary, is this partly why some of the cultures in Italy that are very, very, very close-knit, they eat meat and they smoke cigars, but they live forever, but they have a really close-knit relationship culture? Is that part of it?
You know, I'm sure it does, because what really good relationships do is they calm you. Not only, you know, we know that the masters of relationships, when we study couples for 40 years, and we notice what they do when they come and, you know, they're in a bed and breakfast all weekend with scientists looking through mirrors, is that the masters are good at calming each other. Now, what that does in our brain is it turns off the cortisol, and cortisol is the natural enemy of your defense systems in your body. Cortisol does nothing good for you health-wise. It's there as a fight-and-flight response, but the moment it is turned on long-term, it does nothing good. So I think the best plausible reason for this is that a good relationship is calming, and the oxytocin turns off the cortisol, and then that means that, you know, your defense systems work naturally. Your immune system works naturally. You're not getting high blood pressure and all the other things that come with cortisol. Cortisol was meant to be short-term, not long-term.
I have some family members who had a very disharmonious relationship, and the gentleman in the couple had heart disease at a very early age, and I used to watch them bicker with each other and be practically estranged. How does that affect health and longevity in the immune system, Gary?
Well, this is another thing that came out, and it's maybe one of the most shocking things I've ever read in my journeys through research, I guess. And that is, what they found out is, you know, all couples, even the masters, have some degree of criticism and defensiveness. Now, too much is one of those things we want to avoid. But everybody, but it's contempt. When there is a really bad relationship and there is the presence of contempt, contempt is anything that comes from a position of one person being exalted over the other. And you don't always have to have words. It can just be an eye roll that does it. When there is contempt, what they found out is it turns off the T cells, your autoimmune system, for up to 5 hours. 5 hours. So if this is chronic, what the relationship is doing is it is turning off the autoimmune system, literally your T cells. It's like an attack on your entire body's defenses. And we know that because of that, for 5 hours, your body is open and vulnerable to the presence of cancer cells. And, and within 4 years, women who are in contemptuous relationships have a factor of breast cancer 9 times more than someone in a good relationship.
So, Gary, we can say long-term toxic relationships are carcinogenic.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
That's the downside. Can you give us a flip side and give us some good news, please?
Well, the flip side is if you're in a good relationship, that's not happening so much. In fact, you're getting a lot of oxytocin because we know that long-term relationships that are stable, initially everything runs on dopamine and norepinephrine. That's your initial attraction hormones. Those are the ones that say, let's tear each other's clothes off, right? But somewhere around a year and a half or 2 years, the hormones that are at the basis of our relationship shift more into vasopressin for men and oxytocin for both women and women. Oxytocin is known to turn off cortisol. It's probably one of the natural suppressants of cortisol, so touching, kissing. And it's that good feeling of bonding that allows our system to just feel totally at ease. And when our body's at ease, health is one of the benefits. So it's the flip side is a good relationship calms you, and a calm body is a healthier body.
So the person we're sleeping with and living with can either be a fount of healing or a jagged attack of destruction. I mean, the person with whom we sleep and live has a lot of power and a lot of influence. And as I'm saying this out loud, I realize that each of us can empower our partner, and the partner himself or herself is not solely responsible. It's really a dance. I think you talk about the we and wellness, Gary, because I think that's where we're headed right now.
Okay. The we and wellness, you know, what makes a good relationship is the next question. That gives us all that oxytocin, right? I guess. And one thing that it hasn't been said as much, all of us have a mammal brain in the middle of our thought, and that mammal brain is always looking for bonding. What is safe and feels safe for our brains is being bonded. If we were reptiles, that wouldn't be so much. All we're caring about is breathing. But for anyone that has a mammal brain, and that's us, it's been there for 100 million years. We need bonding. And for human beings, we need a we. We are an advanced species. We can step into each other's minds in a way no other mammal, no other primate can. So what we are looking for is a we. When there's a we, I talk about in the book, the rights of the we. We give it a right to exist. It's got a right to have its needs met. And it actually is the cherishing and protecting presence that takes the two needs of the I and balances them so that neither I is threatening the other, not betraying the other, not selling them out. The we is a gracious and beautiful arbitrator of experience in the couple, so both people get a win-win. So nobody feels betrayed. Everybody feels supported. In that type of relationship, we feel good.
Excuse me. Sorry. This is why when you come home, your dog or your husband or your wife are happy to see you, but your lizard is not.
Yes. And the lizard,
okay.
I mean, yeah, it's, but yes, but our dog is like, oh my God, there you are again.
Right. Well, actually, when I come home, I like my husband to be as excited to see me as my dog. I mean, there's an incredible feeling of coming home. I'm going to set you up now for your four questions, Gary, because when I come home, you have led me to really tune in to what it is that I get back in a loving relationship. So please have at it.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things, because I know you and your hubby have a great relationship, one of the things that makes a really great we is what's called the stress-relieving conversation. Couples research knows that, you know, between couples that regress on a continual basis into bad patterns and those that don't after marital therapy, there's only one difference between those who go back to their old patterns of fighting and bickering and those who don't. And it's called the stress-reducing conversation. The masters are good. At the end of the day, they listen to each other emotionally for 10 minutes at a time or whatever. It just sort of happens naturally. And there's nothing there about fixing. It's just listening to the stresses. Oh, my God, I can't believe your boss said that. That was horrible. I mean, tell me more about how you felt. No fix it. No, oh, no idea about, oh, and that reminds me of a story I had. You're totally there for them. You're just listening. You're just soothing. And what that does is it takes all the pressure from the outside world and keeps it from coming inside the relationship.
Wow. Wow. Gary, on Sunday, I got some really bad news. Mm. And I know that Mark was trying to soothe me, and I was feeling irritable, and I was feeling edgy, and I was feeling aggravated. And I said to him, I'm really upset now. This is not about you. I wasn't ready until later to let him touch me and hold me and comfort me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It does for my. I was on high alert after I got this news. And but later I said, okay, I'm ready to be, you know, I'm ready to be held. But I realized that we can talk about vulnerability and letting our guard down, letting people in. There are a lot of moving parts that let somebody nurture. There's a lot of moving parts. Let somebody nurture us, especially if we're feeling upset or threatened by something that happened in the outside world.
Yes. Yes. And your question is?
No, I was just reflecting on your comment about letting the other person, being present and letting the other person in when I'm struggling with something that happened in the outside world. And maybe to use your word mastery in couples learn that there's a rhythm. And if I say to Mark, not now, there's a trust that, you know, give me an hour or sometime this afternoon, we can come back and connect around this. But right now I'm all inflamed around this.
Yes. Now, actually, that's wise. That's very, very wise. Whenever we're triggered or flooded or overwhelmed or whatever, and we're not able to attune, a good couple will communicate, say, honey, I need to pull away to calm and soothe myself, and I'll be back in an hour. And the point is, you know, that's different than someone who pulls away and then they don't tell you, I'm coming back. There's, hey, I'm coming back in an hour, and they check in. But that's the calming that every couple must have. One of the things I say in the book I'm writing the second book, I've already got it half written, is love depends upon a calm brain. Reactive states don't do a thing for love or health. When you think about it, you know, reactive states lead to chaos or rigidity and nothing good comes from that. What leads to the flow instead of fight or flight? The flow comes from a peaceful state, responsive states. You know, those are receptive states.
So here's one of the many reasons why I love your work. You bring out the best in me. Thank you very much. The place where your work as a psychologist intersects my work as a health coach is that for that soothing, there's yoga and stretching and breathing and nutritious food and being well rested and being well hydrated. At that point, Gary, where couples or is the individual in the couple must soothe himself or herself? It can be very dangerous if that person puts himself or herself in a highly stressful environment, not recognizing the gift waiting for him or waiting for her in this nest of the relationship.
Exactly.
So after I got this bad news, if I had gone off and, you know, drunk a bottle of wine or what I can't even imagine what I could have done, or watched some violent television or something to exacerbate the stress I was feeling, I would have missed the chance to come back and have this nest of my marriage support me. And so this is where you as a psychologist and myself as a health coach are really on the same page, because there are so many strategies that people can do to recognize the disharmony and be proactive about it. And what a gift when we do that.
Absolutely. And one of the things is there's so many strategies out there. And one of the things that I do in the book is I kind of cut to the chase. There's a ton of different strategies that can get us either to a place that's not so good or a place that's really great. But underneath every good strategy is what I argue is that your brain uses four key feelings to know when it is loved or when it is not. And those feelings are, am I worthy? Am I welcomed with joy in this relationship? Do I feel worthy and nourished to have my needs met? Do I feel cherished and protected? And do I feel empowered with choice and voice? And in that moment, notice that you chose to value and cherish and protect the we. There is one of those feelings. Notice that you knew you wanted to be welcomed with joy, but you walked away so you could come back in at a place where you could welcome with joy and that you could have your needs met. So if the listener is out there wondering, well, there's all these strategies, you have to ask, whatever strategy you're asking, if you feel those four feelings, that's good. If not, then something is off. That's the heart and soul of the book. A new GPS for love. You know, you don't have to have everything, a good GPS doesn't give you a map to every single destination, but it's the ability to find your way to any place because you know four key places, north, south, east, and west. Likewise, if you know welcomed, worthy, cherished, and empowered are your keys, then you have a gauge that's simple and dynamic and true for your system, and you'll know what love is easier by just using your feelings.
Wow. And let's hear two stories, Gary. One of a client who did not take advantage of this wisdom, and let's do that one first, and we'll get a positive one from you, please.
Okay. So I can still remember dealing with one couple, and she began to date him, and then he really wanted to date her. And there were some issues, and he agreed to do some work. And he had what would be called an anxious attachment, meaning he was constantly asking, when does love go away? I can still remember there being one session with him in which he said, I just know, I've been cheated on before, so I know it's going to happen. that type of anxiety. We worked with him on calming himself, but he really loved being in control. And I remember telling him, there's a calm mind, a loving brain calms, and this isn't calming her, this sort of accusation. But he waited because he really wanted to be controlled, because control was his way of managing his anxiety. He refused to listen to me, and he lost her. And then later he came to me when they broke up. And I said to him at one point, you've got about a month. I mean, this isn't going to last forever if you don't make some changes, because she knows this doesn't feel like love. And he came to me afterwards and said, I want to work on it. But he couldn't get her back. We got him to someone else, and it really great. He learned his lessons late, but that's one example. And yet, he was able to find a great relationship. But he had to lose someone to learn. And sometimes, every once in a while, People choose the hard route to lose their lessons.
Well, Gary, 20 years ago, I would have been nominated for least likely to succeed in the relationship department. So for our listeners today who are struggling, why don't you give them a call to action to move in the right direction, please?
Okay. Well, a good call to action, or, you know, is, are you asking for something they can do, like an exercise, Rosie, for themselves?
Well, for example, when 20 years ago, when I was least likely to succeed, my path was a lot of seminars and a lot of books, and I mean, I really hunkered down and worked on my personal growth, but that's not something that we can deliver someone today because that was my pathway. As a psychologist, you probably have something a little more defined than go work on yourself, something a little bit more, identifiable.
Well, what I do is, you know, the really good thing that people just kind of use a diagnostic on themselves. Are you feeling in your relationship, welcome with joy? And welcome with joy is like, good morning, gorgeous. You know, or you walk in the door at night and, oh, it looks like you need a hug, right, or whatever. But you feel welcomed. Do you feel worthy of nourished? That means it's okay to reach out for your needs. You know, they're tracking your needs and your patterns and your preferences, and it feels worthy. It's okay to reach out. Do you feel cherished and protected? You get to be a me, and you get to be empowered to be a me by a surrounding we. So it's okay to be a we and a me, not one or the other. And do you feel empowered and choice? Now, if you're feeling, I just really feel, do I feel that? If one of those feelings is missing, then there's, you know, you can work on a few things. If two is missing, the marital friendship, which is the heart and soul of any relationship, is truly at risk. And you probably need, you know, to work with maybe a counselor or a therapist or someone like myself. The other one is if you're missing three or four, it's a toxic relationship. Now, the interesting thing is, if we are not running those feelings, it's because some part of us doesn't have the right to feel better. And it's important to, it's not about coaching. You can give skills all day long to people, but if they don't have rights for the better experience, some part of their brain will say, that wasn't what I was given the rights for. That's part of what I say in the book. And it's important to realize that if you're having an experience at one time, it was the best deal available, except probably like 40 or 50 years, 30 years ago. And we need to upgrade that part of your brain.
Excuse me. I would nominate you to help people identify that. I'm going to repeat your website. It's GarySalyer, SALYER.com. And what's the special thing you have for people today, Gary?
Well, the book isn't out yet, but I'm working on the publisher. But all these ideas and more about the four feelings and the rights and skills for couples and both singles, I have something, I have videos on my website. It's called Love Notes from Dr. Gary, and you'll get some two emails a week for a while. And these are 2 to 4 minute videos that inspire and instruct, and you'll get a preview of the book. I'll tell you far more about the four feelings and what it means to work with each other and how to become a we. And there's also some really cool clips there from John Gray and Ariel Ford and Sark and Paul Craig Brunson. So, and one client, the one couple from Oregon, actually Facebooked me and told me that the only reason they're still together is they started listening to these love notes, and it healed their relationship. So if you want to get inspired and given some really great skills at 2 to 4 minutes at a time, so while you're at Starbucks, you just go to www.garysalyer.com, go to the right side, see the love notes, and, you know, and then you'll also, it'll put you on my mailing list, you'll get all these really cool gifts, and you'll also be on, and you'll also know when the book comes out. And it's really a fast track.
So we're going to move toward closing, and the resources are at GarySalyer.com.
Before I close, let me remind you about your free download at RosieBank.com/17download. Dr. Gary and I worked together to give you some tools you can use to bring more vitality to your love relationships. Of course, this includes loving yourself first. By the way, a good place to share how you use this is at our community Facebook page at www.facebook.com/getyourbodytoloveyouback. Remember that you are worthy of loving yourself. Connect the dots as you expand to give and receive love from a place of being well-nourished. For more information and to learn about Health Matters Coaching, please visit www.getyourbodytoloveyouback.com. Your health matters, and so do you.
Thank you for listening to Health Matters with Rosie Bank, the healthy living podcast for busy professionals at www.rosiebank.com. Remember to make pro-health choices today and every day. The world is a better place when you make taking care of yourself a priority.